Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey peas, this awesome episode contains some content that covers eating disorders, depression, self-harm, and recovery. Just letting you know.
We would like to acknowledge that this podcast meeting is being held on Aboriginal land, the land of the Wurundjeri people of the Kulin Nation, and we would like to pay respect to their elders past, present and emerging, and the multiple birth parents of young adults with chronic illness.
This podcast contains truth, laughter and the occasional F word. It's not suitable for children, so put your AirPods, earbuds, headphones, whatever you choose, do that.
Hello, Kate.
Back.
We're back.
Back, baby.
Yep.
I've had actually a busy day at work. It's been a while since
it's a good feeling.
Yeah, it was actually. I felt really invigorated.
Yep, productive.
So it was good. It wasn't like uncontrollably busy, but busy enough that I was like,
It gives you hope.
It does, So phone rang and every single person that rings me, what do you think's happening in the market?
Me.
Oh, I put the furniture in.
Well, they obviously trust you.
And they want answers that no one can give.
Because they're nervous to put their house on the market. Fair enough.
I just say, well, we don't know. We don't know.
I know, but do you want the pink couch or the purple
couch?
Yeah,
that's right. They don't get a choice, Mandy.
Oh, no choices. Of course, you're the stylist.
Yes, no.
Really?
Do not go down that slippery, slippery slope of choice.
Oh, so you just say this is the way
this
we
is
do
what it.
It
is.
Oh,
yep.
How did I not know that?
Right. Yeah. Because then they'll, this is.
Sorry, I like, you know.
Yeah, the client that, I love you if you're listening, but the nightmare. Oh, I always wanted to do this as my job.
And oh,
I'm like,
no.
I just feel like hanging up right then. Well, you should do it then. Go on, go.
Okay.
Yes, because they have very, yeah. Anyway, it's all fine. I have my little ways and means.
Yes.
Now.
Okay. Right. Yeah.
And
well,
I will
you get good
say,
at it.
Pandemic, no one can be in the house when we're staging.
Oh. So no one's telling you what to do instead.
No.
Sorry, I never liked that painting
they
there.
They get to see it all finished and then it always looks good.
Yeah. So they probably love it.
Yeah.
Ah.
Anyway.
Got
anyway,
it.
We've got three microphones even though we've been just chatting away.
We do. And we're very excited.
Very excited.
Yes.
So this is a P friend that actually her and I have been talking on Instagram.
Yes.
And we read her letter out at the live show, the one and only
live show in Sydney.
Yeah. So, but she didn't get to go to because she lives in Melbourne.
Yeah. And we never recorded.
We never recorded anyway. We've learned that lesson.
Yep, we have.
We will record.
Yep.
But yes, would you like to introduce yourself?
Hi, guys. I'm Dee. Hi.
Oh, it's lovely to have you, Dee.
It is lovely to have you. And, yes, she did write a beautiful Instagram letter. Is that a thing?
Yeah.
Message that we did read out, which I haven't got here.
Oh, of course
but
not.
But I have already. I think I read it on the podcast.
Yes.
Did I read
have
it
we?
I think so.
I think I did, yeah. And then we were going to read it. We did read it again at the live
Yeah, because we loved it.
Yeah. So.
Yep.
Anyway, when we get back to doing live shows, you get to hear it, the rest of you. So, you know, I was listening to someone today and they were like, it was Will Anderson. He's like, you know, someone said we're going to have like only 40 people in the room and they have to have like two chairs between
what?
Them. And it's like, it'll be terrible if you're a comedian or something and you really vibe off people.
Yeah.
So
not that we would know.
No. Look, we've done one show.
From our experience as comedians.
Extensive experience. Well, we were at a comedy club.
We were. And people were sitting close. We couldn't see them anyway. It was dark.
So
anyway, silly us.
Sorry.
Back to you, Dee.
We've got our three questions. So our first question that we do like to ask is there a song or music or a band that gets you through good times or bad times?
So music is something that is really special to me.
Mm-hmm.
Before my life changed a bit, I used to dance a lot.
Oh.
And with that I used to sing as well. So oh. I've always felt really connected to music.
Yeah.
And actually after your last episode about singing and yep. music, I yeah. decided that I could actually go back to singing lessons because they don't require me using my body. So yeah, I don't know why yes. I didn't think of that before. So that was great. But yeah, I think musical theatre. I love music.
Yes, we do.
Good answer.
What's your favourite show? Or is that what you're about to say?
I can't choose, but yeah. I feel like in terms of like the songs that make me feel empowered, just like Defying Gravity.
Oh, yes.
Oh, my
gosh.
I've made some important life decisions Wicked. Listening to that.
Yes.
But then I do love a lot of like 60s music. Yeah. I know my music taste is really everywhere. Like right. I listen to like Boogie Woogie Booga Boy, and then I'll be listening to the Beatles, and then I'll be listening to like S Club 7.
So, yeah. Oh, S Club 7. A classic.
Classic.
Oh, that's ace.
And?
Oh, did you win any awards in school?
I did.
Hit us with them. Oh, good. Okay, that's right, tell us.
In my primary school, it was kind of a standard that like just everyone kind of got one. Yep. You like, I don't yeah. know, let's make everyone happy.
Yes.
They'll just find something to get. And you kind of like, I feel like you could kind of sense it if you're like, oh, teacher said that writing piece was good, probably get an award for it. Like,
so true.
You could like kind of feel when it was coming. And my mum wasn't like a mum that came to assemblies, so then when yep. she'd randomly come to an assembly, I was like,
oh, yep, someone's called her.
But then during high school, obviously awards changed a bit, and I just kind of got awards for the classes that I kind of thrived in.
Uh-huh. Yep.
But as my life got more complicated, those awards kind of disappeared and also became something that I didn't find helpful because I had myself like at these standards that I needed
yeah.
to like get these awards mm. to like accomplish things. So I was like still in and out of hospital yeah. trying to get these awards and was somehow like managing to do it and was just not like a maintainable
no.
thing to do at all. And now they mean nothing because I can't put them on my resume. So like yes. it's not important.
So true.
Isn't that true?
It is so true. They don't really – yeah, who goes to a job interview? I won the Year 9 Debating Award.
Yeah. Pretty much. I was it's like, true. I like won poetry awards and like I had all these drama awards and I was like, yeah, well, when I was writing my resume in year 9, it was maybe useful because yeah. it looked like I was committed. But now people are just like, you haven't achieved anything in 10 years. Okay.
Yeah, that's
yes.
right.
Yes. Fascinating.
It's very true.
Yeah.
But, you know, at the time, they can mean a big deal.
Yeah.
They can. Anyway, that's, you know, good on you. Mandy and I, awardless.
Yeah.
That's okay. I wasn't like, I couldn't really brag about them that much either because my like other family members never got awards. And so yeah. I just kind of like, and I don't think I cared much because I knew it wasn't really
yeah.
that meaningful.
No.
Anyway. And I feel like when they start giving them out like all the time and so often, it's just like, obviously this isn't important.
Yeah, that's
never
right.
got the attendance once though.
Ah, okay. Yes.
So that was okay. Wasn't expecting any
yep.
of them.
Yep.
No. Yeah, I think that they're probably like the worst of the worst awards. Like, no, I chose to be sick. Oh, I yes. had a cold, so I didn't come to school and infect yes. you, and now I'm not getting awarded for
yeah,
it.
Yeah, exactly.
Ridiculous. Surely now.
Oh.
Pandemic culture.
Oh,
that has got to go because we're every teacher every day. Don't send you if you've got a sniffle. If you've got a sore throat, don't come to school.
We didn't realize the pandemic was going to be on our side.
Attendance it's going to what?
Oh, wow.
Oh, you can just click Amazing. Attending on your computer.
And you don't even have to do anything.
One of my friends oh. said her daughter just like rolls over on the doona, clicks attending, and then just rolls back to sleep.
Fair enough.
So, yeah.
They can get away with anything.
Yeah, that's right. So,
well, I think of like when I was like in hospital and doing school from hospital, yeah. I was doing schoolwork every day. So technically I was attending.
Yes, yes, that's right. That's right.
No one was giving me an award for an attendant.
No.
So they were actually super attending.
Yeah, that's right.
So I feel like, I don't know, they're just not very well.
No, they're, and I understand we want vulnerable children to go to school. So yes. I do.
Yes.
I support that. Oh,
that's
that
where
concept.
It all came
yeah,
from.
I do support that
yeah,
concept.
Yeah, me too. Of course.
But it's actually, there has to be a better way.
I don't know you what know. It is.
And lucky there's probably someone who's done a whole PhD on it. So yep. they can
work that out. Yeah.
Yeah. So, and why are you a P?
I am a P for a lot of different reasons. But I guess the main reason is that I have a few different chronic illnesses. I have gastroparesis, so my GI tract is paralyzed. And I have a nasojejunal tube at the moment, so I rely on most of my intake to be fed through my tube. And I have like an atonic bladder, so I have a suprapubic catheter, which is a catheter that is inserted like surgically, kind of under your belly button.
Right.
And yeah, we're still like up in the air about a few diagnoses. Right. And I also have an extensive mental health history,
right.
Which I have recovered from now, but that's kind of where most of my personal P experience started.
Yeah.
And I have P shoot family members and other P family members.
Yeah. And so you talked about like going into hospital. So when did all that start?
So I originally started going into hospital for mental health stuff. And that started after my 16th birthday. So it was like about a month-ish after. So kind of it was like this time, like I think 5 years ago.
Right.
Okay. I turned 21 and then, yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
So I started having like some mental health issues earlier on. The physical health stuff was there as well, but it was really overlooked. And it's something that my mum had tried to bring up when I was a baby, when she would take me to doctors.
Wow.
With my like bladder being atonic, so I don't have the sensation to go to the toilet
or
anything, and it'll just like keep on feeling. But she would say to the doc, like she would take me to the GP and just be like, oh, I don't think she's wetting her nappy enough. And
she'd
be like, oh, it's fine. Like, you know, she's walking early. She's just got really good blood control. And they were like, oh, she's just developing really well. And my mom was like, oh, okay. Never brought it up. No one actually talks about what it feels like to pee.
That's
no one
so true.
Really talks about pee.
Yes.
No.
I feel like more people talk about poop.
Lots of people talk about poop.
Yeah.
I feel like it's like poo is a really normal conversation.
Yes.
No one like really says like, oh, you know.
This like, is what it feels like.
Yeah, this
when
is what
busting,
it feels like to wee.
Yeah.
I was like, I don't know that. And then so I kind of went through all of school and nothing was really noted.
So did you just think, oh, well, everyone's going to the toilet, I should go?
Yeah, exactly. That's literally what I thought. Or sometimes I'd see my, like, I went to an all-girls high school.
Yeah.
And so it would be like people go to the toilet before school started, at recess, at lunch, and then like after school. And I was like, I don't know what you guys are doing, but like.
I'll join in.
I was like, and sometimes I would like think like, oh, I'd like be there and I'm like, I just can't go. Like, that's fine.
Yeah.
And I thought that was normal. I thought everyone felt that way. I thought that's how it was for everyone. But no, not normal to only pee like once every 24 hours or less.
Yes,
definitely not how it works.
Right.
So when I started having mental health issues, that's also kind of when the physical health stuff got picked up. Mm. But back to going into hospital, in 2017, I think it was, I spent a lot of time in the mental health ward of the Royal Children's Hospital.
Right.
I pretty much lived there.
Yep.
I spent more time there than I did at home.
Yeah.
The like staff became my family.
Yes.
Wow. And it was just a really difficult time. I was struggling really badly with depression and self-harm and anorexia.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And then a bunch of things that kind of stemmed on from that,
yep.
like just anxiety, the whole thing. I was like rattling when I walked, so much meds.
Right.
It was a really, really horrible situation. That took a lot of time. I wasn't really willing to recover. I didn't see the point of it and I didn't really see things actually going any further in my life. So I was like, oh, well, like this is just what it is.
Yep.
Like, okay, right. And then it was actually during that time that people started realizing things like how I would complain so much of like nausea and how I wasn't going to the bathroom. But then they just, it made sense because if I was having a really limited intake,
yes.
then okay, I wouldn't be going to the bathroom because I'm really yes. dehydrated, so my body's holding on to water.
Mm.
Or okay, well, of course you're going to like vomit and feel sick after you eat because you're just not eating when you're not here.
Yeah.
So because of that, it wasn't really until I recovered from my mental health stuff that the physical health stuff really started like to not make sense. And they were like, okay. This
it should
right.
have passed, yeah.
Mm. So, yeah, it was just a wild journey.
Yeah. Mm. And what do you think something happened that made you feel depressed or do you think that's just like random?
I don't know if it was like something that kind of just clicked. I was always a really like happy person. I was really independent like yeah. my entire life. Having a pea shoot sibling, I felt like I was like super like independent because mm. I yeah. was helping take care of him.
Yeah.
And no one really like felt the need to like really do anything for me. Like when I went to like my first day at playgroup or kinder or whatever it was, my mum was like holding my hand and I let go and I was like, I don't need you anymore.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, yeah.
And so like kind of from yeah. that moment on I was super independent. And then I think I got to this point where I was kind of crumbling under the pressure
yeah.
of everything,
yeah.
but also struggling with those physical health things that people would say, oh, it's just, you're just a teenager.
Yeah.
Like, are you sure that like it's food that's making you sick or do you just want to lose weight? Yeah. And like, it almost made me develop this yes. really obsessive relationship with food
yeah.
because I felt like I didn't have a choice because they were like, oh, well, if this has fructose, if this has gluten, if this has lactose, like don't eat it. So I was reading the packages.
Yeah.
And then also was struggling in these other ways and it was just like literally a recipe for disaster.
Yes. And how was being at an all-girls school during that? Was that a good thing or?
I think that it was actually a really great experience.
Yeah.
I went to a co-ed school in year 7 and had a really negative experience there with like staff members and teachers and I just had never struggled to make friends but all of a sudden I just didn't feel connected.
Yeah.
And looking back on it now, I don't know if that struggle to feel connection was because I was feeling really disconnected from like myself.
Yeah.
But I did move to an all-girls school and was really nervous because I was really against like going to an all-girls school. I thought it was going to be really bitchy
yeah,
and I
yeah.
was just like, well, you know what, the world's made up of like both like guys and girls so
yeah,
like
yeah.
you're just gonna have to like get on with it. But it was actually really supportive and I had amazing friends and teachers and I never felt not supported by anyone at that school.
Awesome.
So good.
Yeah.
During my whole experience, which wasn't what I was expecting. And after I was discharged from my first mental health inpatient admission, which was, I think it was 6 weeks long, I just didn't want to come back to school. I was like, everyone's going to know.
Yeah. yeah.
Like, I don't want people
like
to
you
know.
You got a spotlight on you.
Yeah.
And it was not like that at all. And I was having friends who were, like, collecting work for me.
Aww.
And, like, I had friends come visit me in hospital. I had teachers come and visit me in hospital.
Oh, amazing.
So I think it was a really common thing that like there's a lot of pressure on you at an all-girls school to look a certain way
right.
and do a certain thing. But I never really felt that and I think my friends were more concerned about me before other people on the outside kind of realised.
Yeah.
And I opened up to teachers about my mental health stuff before I opened up to like any psychologist.
Yeah.
Okay, so
you trusted them.
I felt really supported there and they were great like the whole way through, like up until I had to drop out because I was planning to spend a few months in hospital in the middle of year 12. Like they were just super, super supportive, like awesome. Told me they put me in the yearbook even though I wasn't actually graduating.
That stuff matters.
Yeah. And so I felt really connected. I still talk to like heaps of people now.
Great. I think, you know, and obviously we talk about this all the time, but just being at a school that supports you,
mm-hmm.
it just changes your life.
Yeah.
You know, and it doesn't change what you are or what you're going through or what abilities or disabilities you have, but it just makes you feel connected.
Yeah.
That's all we want, really. We just all want connection.
That's right.
Yeah. I had one really negative experience, which I won't like go into much, and it's probably quite triggering for some people. So I will like note that as well. But I had a really, really bad day at school and it resulted in like quite an emergency situation.
Yep.
And I left school like in an ambulance and there were just police around and there was just a lot of stuff going on. And I thought after that, I was like, there's no way I can go back.
Yeah.
Like there is no way that like, I said, I've probably like traumatized people. I can, yeah. I don't want to be responsible for that. So like, I just can't go back. And I came back to like people who had bought like, put in and bought a whole bunch of flowers and like no one said anything.
People are good.
And
people
I was like, this is okay. Like,
yeah,
I can't do this because I'm hurting people and I don't want to hurt people anymore. Yeah. And I have the supports around me. And I think it played a huge part in my recovery knowing that there were these people that I didn't even think cared and like they did.
So. Yeah.
Can you tell us a little bit about your time in the Royal Children's in the mental health facility?
It was, I don't want to, it was actually kind of good. Like,
Tell us.
I think people have this idea that mental health is all padded cells and horrible. It was kind of like a kinder. There was like bright walls and we had a school program.
Yeah.
It wasn't always great. They were really underfunded and still are. And I think it's a big issue, but that's kind of just mental health in general. And we're getting there slowly. Yeah. We're just not there yet.
Yeah.
But I wasn't always there by choice and that made it really hard and I would run away and be brought back. And I think it definitely put a lot of, pressure on my family and on my friends because no one felt like they could help. And I was also building this relationship with the staff members and it was quite emotional to like them to also see me that way because they'd watched me like go from this like 16-year-old and I was growing up there. And, I also did have like a lot of positive experiences come out of that though. And one of those was that I actually met my fiance there.
Oh, wow.
I don't think, I don't know how many people know that. I feel like a lot of people do, but then a lot of people don't.
Right.
And, it obviously like wasn't a planned thing. We just kind of like kept in touch when we left and we were just kind of like chatting every now and then. And then we ended up getting along really well. So well that we're going to marry each other.
Congratulations.
Yeah. So
there's nothing better than someone who gets you.
Nothing better.
And I think that's what it was at the time. Like we're both like recovered now, but I think at that time, just I wasn't thinking about a relationship.
No,
like to me, like I didn't think I was going to be alive for like another week.
Yeah.
Like that was just not my priority.
No.
Yeah.
But somehow I guess we didn't use like each other to kind of get better, but we just realized that there were other things like in life. And I think also being able to recover at the same time and grow at the same time was a really like special like experience. And he also has a chronic illness, he's a type 1 diabetic.
Yeah.
So when I was going through and still am going through all this like chronic health stuff, he just really gets it.
Yeah, yeah. So of course he does.
It kind of just worked out really
well.
Yeah.
Well, it did work out really well.
Yeah. He's a fan.
He is a fan.
Yes.
We listen to the podcast when we go on road trips. We play it on the way there and on the way back. We have our own, like, discussion.
Oh, thank you for listening.
Yes, thank you.
We do love it. He laughs every time you guys laugh.
Does he? That's cute.
He's a big fan.
That's nice.
But I guess there were so many things that happened in there and a lot of the, like, in the ward, and some of them were quite negative and some of them were quite positive. I think it was really hard dealing with what other people thought about what it was like. And school and stuff was okay because I had friends coming to visit me and they realized what it was like. And at the time I was also part of, like, a really big youth group and, like, I had heaps of, like, support. Youth people coming to visit me. But it was when we would see other people that were like maybe like family friends or just kind of people that we knew, and they would kind of like hear about it and they were just like, oh.
Yeah.
So like, is there like padded walls? Like, what are you doing there? Like, do they tie you to the bed when you sleep? I was like, illegal.
Yeah.
Tell us the rectum comments. Come on. Tell us some.
Sometimes I literally felt like my life was one giant colonoscopy because everywhere was just out of rectum.
Everywhere you went.
And it still feels that way now. Yes. I think that like during that time, I found it really hard because I didn't feel like I could be super open about it.
No.
But I decided to start using my social media as a platform to educate people.
Yeah.
And even though it wasn't that long ago, people still didn't talk about mental health that much. No. Even though it was only like 5 years ago. Like,
yeah, I think there's been a big change.
But some people still avoid it.
Yeah, they do.
You know.
They're just stupid.
Everyone's got something.
But we've all...
Don't you reckon?
But why is it any different to any other health?
I don't know.
It's the same.
It's like everyone has mental health. It's whether yours is like good or bad at the time. Right. Like it's not
Doesn't
this...
Doesn't that change every day though?
Yeah. And sometimes it, you know, you get to a point where you're like, I need help now. This is a point where I need help.
Yes.
And then other times you're like, oh, I can manage this with supports that I've already put in. But... I don't know many of my friends that don't dip in and out of therapy, you know, and I don't think anything about, like, I think the first time I went and spoke to someone, I was about 23 or 24. Oh, so powerful.
Yes.
They're like, yeah, you can do this. That's a really, like, they'll accept what you're saying is valid. And
as if being a teenager is not hard enough.
Oh, it's so hard.
People were just really uneducated, and I think I realized that quite quickly. I was like, people don't mean to be this way. People just don't know. No one's telling them.
Yeah.
And so I had kind of, I knew that like throughout like primary school and high school, people knew me as this very perfect person. I was like, it's going to make a difference if this person who everyone thinks is perfect starts speaking out about this, because to them, I know it's not going to make sense.
Yes.
And that's what they need. They need something that does make sense, because mental health and physical health and just all kinds of disabilities and illnesses, they don't make sense.
No, they don't.
And I think it kind of showed people that mental health and physical health, it's a privilege. It's not a right. No, no one is like entitled to it. And if you've got it, then you're lucky.
You're lucky. And you don't know. You don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, and you don't. I mean, anyone can have mental health issues, and anyone can have physical health issues. That's right. So it's a bit, I suppose that's why for some people it's just such a shock when something goes wrong or they get depression or whatever, whereas others of us are like, oh, yeah, that's probably, you know, what's going to happen this year.
Yeah,
you know?
true.
I think this pandemic's actually been really, really interesting for people.
Because I think it's such a humanising experience.
Yes. It's a leveller.
It's not the same for everybody, but we're all going through something at the same time.
Yeah.
And I was listening to Willosophy's podcast today, and he's on the JobKeeper, and I'm like, I'm on the JobKeeper. Will's on the JobKeeper. We're earning the same amount of money.
Yay.
And it sounds stupid, but I actually was like, you know what? It's affecting everyone.
Yes.
It's really, I know, I was really kind of alarmed by the amount of responses that I did get when I started speaking out about my experience.
So you started doing that on Instagram? Is that where you first?
I think I first posted a post on Facebook because I knew that was people that I knew, and I knew that there was a range of people on there. There were like my mum's friends.
Yeah.
There was like family. Like older family members.
Yeah.
And I was like, you know what? Let's just like knock them all over.
Yeah. What did you say? What was that first post?
And how old were you when you did that?
I think I was like 16, maybe about to turn 17.
Uh-huh. Okay, so, wow,
Were you in the hospital at the time, or had you come home? Can you remember that?
I think I'd come home.
Yep.
But the post was really long, and I just wrote down a bunch of like different diagnoses that I had, and then I said, I have these. And then I kind of went on to how it was impacting my life. And some amazing people reached out and messaged me, and there were some comments that people made, which I know they were our direct comments, but I know they didn't mean it that way.
No.
But it was one really common one was, I didn't think that could happen to you.
Wow. Yeah.
And it made me really upset at the time.
Yes.
I was like, does that mean that I shouldn't be this way, because clearly something is wrong if I am that way, because if all these people think that it wouldn't happen to me, then why has it? Which isn't the way it works.
No.
But I was like, wow, do people have this idea that things can look so perfect that they're never allowed to not be perfect?
Yes.
And I think they do.
Yeah, I think they do. And I think they have, maybe not so much now, but probably still, we have this really strange idea of what depression or self-harm or all of those things are.
Yeah.
And they're different for everybody.
Everyone. Yeah.
And you can't just look at someone and go, oh, they've got that.
No.
But if you watch an old movie, you know, and you think, oh, that's what a mental hospital is and that's what depression is. That's not what it is.
No, it's not.
Yeah, it's not one flew over the cuckoo's
nest. No, it's not.
It's not.
No.
But you'd be, like, really surprised. Like, we never actually got to know who they were, but obviously at the Children's Hospital you get a lot of, like, celebrity guests and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
They would be going around to the wards and we would, like, see them. The ward is a locked ward, so you can't come and go as you please.
Yep.
But when you, like, might go downstairs or you'd hear that there was, like, a certain celebrity or a certain footy player, and then we'd see them outside the door where there's this little peeping window.
Yep.
And then they'd walk away with their people. And it's like, obviously, you've been told what this ward is. And I was like, and if people knew that you had that opinion, don't think you'd be very popular anymore.
Oh, God, that breaks my heart.
But there were some amazing people that came in, like Callie Osborne came in once and she shared her own experience.
Wow.
And that was definitely, like, I think one of the best. We had, like, Coldplay come in.
There was
some really cool people. But then I was like, I don't know why someone would not come in. Like,
their own whatever.
Well, maybe they had something that they're confronting and they don't want to give that away, but probably people don't know what to say.
Yeah.
But it's such a funny phrase, isn't it? Because you just meet someone, you just talk to them.
Yeah.
You don't have to talk about anything.
Yeah, well, no one ever came in and, like, spoke about that because it was kind of like a rule that you're not allowed to speak to other patients about, like, why you're there. For some, it is a bit more, like, obvious than others. Like, a lot of people that are in there for eating disorders are on, like, a different meal plan and, like, a kind of different schedule.
Yeah.
But no one, like, really talks about, like, why they're there. Like, it's a common question, but it's normally the people that are, like, in there for the first time and then they kind of realise that that's not what you do.
Did you have your own room or did you share a room or what was that like?
All the rooms were separate. There was only one shared room.
Right.
Over my, like, 2.5 years of being there, I got to experience every room.
Yeah.
But, you had, like, your own room with, like, your own bathroom. I did go into a private hospital once I was over 18.
Yes.
And that was a bit different. Like, a lot of the rooms are shared. And I had been to, like, adult public, like, twice, very briefly, not a very nice experience.
Yes.
A huge wake-up call from being at the Children's.
Yeah.
But, yeah, the setup was literally like a kinder. Like, the walls were yellow and they had, like, paintings on them. We used to have colouring in, board games, and, like, the starlight, like, live wire people.
Yeah, I was
going to
ask about live wire. Yep.
Yes, they were great. They actually, I spent my 18th in the ward,
right,
which was planned because I was having planned admissions. Pretty much every day from January until my 18th birthday, which was on April 4th. And so I was going in every Monday and then going home every Wednesday. And it was meant to kind of just be to support me going out into this world without having them there.
Right.
So I spent my 18th birthday there and Livewire came and they bought me a present and the ward threw me a party and everyone gave me a birthday card.
So waste.
And we had cake. At the time, I was like, oh, my gosh, I'm spending my 18th in a psych ward. And looking back on it now, I'm like, that was bloody great.
Yes.
These people had watched me grow over the last 20 years. I don't think anyone understood it more than they did.
No.
Like, we went downstairs. We got pancakes for breakfast.
Yeah.
Oh, it's an amazing place, the Royal Children's Hospital. It is an
amazing place. Yeah. Amazing people.
Yeah. It's pretty sad that you get cut off when you're
18. Yeah. Yeah.
It was really hard. And I think once I had left, I'd recovered from pretty much everything except I was still really battling a lot of the eating disorder stuff.
Yeah.
Which is why I did go to a private clinic a few months after I turned 18, and that's when I also left school. And it was during that private admission that I had my first catheter put in because they realized that I wasn't going to the toilet.
They're like, took that long.
Yeah, well, when I was at the Children's, they would do bladder scans and stuff, but they were like, I guess you haven't been drinking much.
Yeah.
But it would sometimes I think, like, how did they miss it? And I get that wasn't their priority time.
Yeah.
But some things really, like, didn't add up then. I guess looking back on it now, we can kind of, like, see that, like, I was getting super, like, super, super sick after eating, and it made sense when you're not eating, but then it was kind of to a point where it's like, well, this shouldn't, like, be the case, and someone shouldn't be feeling this unwell if they've been refeeding for, like, a few weeks already.
Mm. Yeah.
And we'll do bladder scans at the children's hospital when I hadn't gone to the bathroom. And they'd be like, oh, no, it says your bladder's full, so I guess we'll just wait. And that wasn't their, like, priority at the time. No. It's not what we were doing.
No, mental health, not, yeah.
Yeah, it wasn't like, obviously, like, there are nurses and stuff in there, but it's just not what we were thinking about. And we thought that maybe my whole body was just tired. Yes. Like, I was going, I don't want to trigger people, but I was going, like, days without food. And yeah. Like, my body's reaction, like, there is no normal reaction to what, when that happens to your body. So they didn't kind of think anything of it. And it was when I was in the private clinic that they were weighing me and they were like, oh, you must be, like, not going to the toilet beforehand. And I was like, well, I try, but, like, I can't. And I was like, I'm just sorry. Like, I can't make myself. And they're like, you're having 2 liters of water a day. Why can you not go? And I was like, well, that's just how it's been my whole life.
Wow.
And the doctor was like, excuse me. I was like, well, I don't know. I just really never got like the sensation. He's like, well, how do you go? And I was like, I just have to force myself really hard. And I was like, I get really dizzy. It's really uncomfortable. I was like, I just thought everything was like that. He's like, you need to go to hospital now.
Wow.
And so I went to ED and I had an indwelling catheter put in, which I had had put in before. But because I was having mental health issues, people really palmed off that you're just choosing to not go to the toilet.
Yes.
You're just doing this because this is your form of self-harm. And I was like, really? I don't think it's actually like normal to hold 2 liters in your bladder.
No, because it's
like,
very uncomfortable.
Exactly. And I was like, even if this was self-harm, I'm pretty sure like someone with a normal bladder would have peed themselves
their pants
by now.
Yeah.
But that is something that has been a huge struggle, like, up until now. I'm just still always fighting with the medical professionals that this is not my mental health. And I'm recovered from that. And that was 5 years ago.
Yeah.
And this is now. And I get it. Relapse is really, really common. But sometimes I'm just like, no.
Yeah.
Like, are you sure you're not anxious? Like, yes, I'm sure I'm not anxious. Like, spent a long time feeling that way. Pretty sure it doesn't feel like this.
Yeah. And is it common?
They're not listening. They're not listening to you.
It's not. It's so common. I know so many young adults and young people that have gone so long without being diagnosed because people don't listen. And it's not fair. Like, people die.
Yes.
And, like, that's just, like, the hard truth from it, because people don't understand and they want to say it's just an eating disorder, or maybe you're just lactose intolerant, and people go really long, like a really long time without being properly diagnosed, and by the time they are diagnosed their body is weak and they don't respond well to treatment, and a lot of people die, or their quality of life is really like not a lot, and it's not fair because it's preventable. And while we really need to be aware of mental illness in our community, we also need to kind of know when to draw the line. And if someone lives every single day in their body and they're telling you that something is not right,
listen,
it is not your job to tell them that they are wrong. It's your job to support them and say, okay, if you're saying this and you've been in this body your whole life and you're saying that this isn't right and this is what's happening, then, you know what, it makes sense that you're anxious and depressed right now because no one's listening to you.
Yes. Yeah. So there's nothing worse you go than around, not being listened to.
Oh, my gosh.
And then you begin to believe.
Yeah.
Maybe I am not, maybe this isn't my head. Maybe I'm not. And that's a terrible thing.
It's really horrible. And it's something that I've, like, I, like, still see a therapist now. And the reason that I see my therapist now is because of, like, the medical trauma that is constantly there.
Yeah.
And it just never goes, and the amount of, like, time that I spend kind of arguing with medical professionals, and some of them are amazing, and then some of them need better people skills.
Yes, they do. And some of them are amazing but have no people skills but are still really good at their job.
Yeah.
So, you know, they need to maybe just work it out but then get someone else to come and talk to you. Because we want their brain and we want what they've got, but we don't want them talking to us.
I think the hardest time was when I was going and I was recovered from that mental health stuff, and I was so proud of myself because I'd worked really hard and I'd been unwell for a lot longer than I was getting treatment, but then all of a sudden these people were telling me that I mustn't be better. And I was like, so you're telling me that I've worked this hard to not know my own brain? Like, that can't be right. And it was really difficult, and it still is really difficult. And every now and then I'll always get, like, the like one medical professional that's like, are you sure that this isn't just like an eating sort of thing? And right. I'm like, there is literally paperwork. If you want to go yeah. onto my file and read. Like yeah. when I was in hospital, I was assessed by three different psychiatrists. I get it. They saw my history at the Royal Children's and they were probably like, we need to prep ourselves.
Yeah.
Like, she, like, I know I've gotten away with a lot before.
Yep.
And I knew that they would think that. They assessed me. They were like, actually, you handle things really well and you're like a model yeah. patient. And I was yeah. like, yeah, I know I am. Thank you.
Shippers.
But it makes it really hard when then you go into ED and you see this new person. They're like,
you've got to do it all again.
Oh, have you tried yoga?
Yeah.
Just like, I'm sorry, fuck your yoga.
Yes.
Like,
yes.
no, yoga is not going to fix this.
No.
And I think there's just a lot of, sometimes in the medical world, there is this hierarchy that some doctors think that they are super above all these other people, including other doctors.
Mm. Yeah.
It sure is.
Oh, there is.
It's yeah. terrible. And yeah. I was.
It is terrible to watch.
It is. Yeah.
I really have, like, all my life I've wanted to work in medicine, and that's really what I wanted to do. I thought that my experiences would make me not want to work in medicine, yeah. and now I'm so much more determined to work
yeah.
in medicine.
Yeah, brilliant. I'm we like, need people
someone
like you.
Needs to yell at you.
Yes.
And it's going to be me.
Great.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
And so when did they then realise, oh, you've actually got gastro
stuff. Yeah. Tell us about that.
So it had been going on for a while. Cue some poo conversation.
Great. Yep.
But my shit was shitty.
Yes. It was
a shitty situation.
Yep.
When you have an atonic bladder, it's really common for people to have a slow bowel as well because – they're like literally next door to each
yeah,
other.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
When your blood is really full, it's like squashing that. Yeah. When like your bowel's really full, it's squashing your bladder.
Yes.
And so I was seeing a gastro for a while and they were just like, oh, just like it really doesn't make sense like why you are like so constipated all the time. And I'm like, well, like, look, I can't really eat that much because like sometimes I just end up vomiting.
Yeah.
And I was kind of adapted to living this weird way and to me it was just normal. And it was after I had the surgery for my suprapubic catheter. So I'd had an indwelling catheter, which goes in via your urethra.
Yeah.
If most people who have had a baby, I'm pretty sure
yeah.
I've had
yeah,
one.
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah, I had that for 2 years.
Wow.
Uncomfortable.
Yes. That must have been.
I was not very happy. I had really negative experiences around my urology stuff, which resulted in me having to move hospitals and make formal complaints because of people using my mental health against me.
Yeah.
It was a really, really horrible situation and super traumatic.
Yeah.
But after a while, I started expelling the catheters with the balloon fully inflated.
Oh.
It's like peeing out a cherry tomato.
Yes.
Not very nice experience.
No.
At this time, I was also studying and I was working. And instead of me realizing that my body couldn't actually work at that time,
yeah.
I was like, well, everyone else is studying and working. I need to do this too.
Yeah.
Like, there's no reason that I can't.
Yeah.
And every shift would end up with me in the emergency department because I'm like, huh, guys, fell out again.
Oh,
can I eat another one?
My word.
And eventually we put in the suprapubic catheter,
yep.
which is the surgical one. And after that, my stomach got worse.
Ah.
And I was really confused. I was like, okay, well, I have been like there's obviously a lot of inflammation and stuff going on.
Yeah.
And maybe, like, it'll just settle. And then it didn't. And, like, a week went by. And then I was going to see my GP and she was quite concerned. And she was probably one of the first doctors I'd had a really good relationship with since a lot of medical trauma had happened.
Yeah.
And I found it really important to have her because I felt like she was empowering me as a patient.
Yeah, yeah.
And so she would tell me, she's like, okay, you're going to go to ED. She's like, you need to be strong and you need to be firm. And you tell them this is how you're feeling and this is what's going on. Like, don't let them, like, walk over you.
Mm.
And so I would do that and they'd be like, okay, I think you're just constipated. You need some laxatives. Like, I would have bowel prep and then not go to the toilet. That's not normal.
No, it's not normal. No.
So it was after I had that SPC surgery that those gastro symptoms really flared up. And after going to the emergency department four times within 2 weeks, they were like, oh, maybe we should admit you. And because I was admitted so late, I was actually really unwell the whole admission and had a blood sugar level of 1.4, which is really dangerous. And I'm not a diabetic.
Yes.
And I had ketones, which are like when your body is eating itself, that were super duper high.
Wow.
And this was all really preventable had someone just listened the first time I went in.
Yes.
But that's basically when I had my first feeding tube put in. And once we did more investigation after that. I got the diagnosis of gastroparesis, and then I only recently found out that it is actually really common that it's triggered to be worsened after people have had a surgery.
Right.
And I don't think they know what it is around that,
but
sometimes something around it can set it off. But also not uncommon for people who have gastroparesis to have bladder issues and bowel issues and connective tissue issues because they look into connective tissue diseases and stuff.
Yeah. And did you feel better once you had the feeding tube?
I felt extremely better, except it wasn't. I originally had a nasogastric tube put in because they thought that maybe we could just kind of slowly get my stomach to adjust.
Yeah.
And that wasn't really working and I wasn't tolerating a lot of feeds. So we went and had the NJ placed in December. And since then, I felt incredibly better and I had all this energy and I felt like I could function again as a human. Things like do go up and down and they did go down like a few months ago for some unknown reason. But I started like a new medication and since then I've been able to like tolerate my feeds again.
Yeah.
And I was so angry. I was like, this is all it took. All it needed was for someone to listen and they just needed to do it. And
I would have felt so great
for
so long.
For so many
I remember the first day I woke up after having the NJ tube in. I woke up in the morning and I was like, oh, my gosh, I just slept through the whole night and I haven't vomited. Because I was running my feeds overnight or during the day and I was just vomiting because my stomach couldn't tolerate it. And I was also studying at that time and I was studying nursing, which I ended up leaving. But I was like forcing myself to go to these classes because I just felt like I had to do this. And I was like running out in the middle of class, like vomiting. And I was like, that's not okay. You can't let people have that quality of life.
No.
It is your job as a medical professional to make sure that people aren't in those situations.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's hard to get people to listen to that.
How did you get used to having the tube in your nose and it's visible, people can see it? What was that like?
Hard. Really hard. Because I'd had the catheter and people couldn't always really see that in summer if I wore shorts, but I wasn't really going out that much because I was just really sick all the time. But all of a sudden I realised that the problems that I'd had the whole time, people could see them. And I didn't really notice at the start, but then I was like, oh, people are staring at me and this is uncomfortable. And then all of a sudden, for some reason, my personal medical information was meant to be public knowledge. Because all these strangers that I'd never met before would come up and be like, oh, what's that for?
Really?
And I was like, excuse me? Excuse me? And at the start, I just didn't even know what to say. And now I have different responses depending on people's attitudes.
Tell us, what are they?
So if someone makes conversation and we're talking for a bit and they're just like, oh, if you don't mind me asking, like, what is that for? Because I do think that educating people is the best way of getting people to not be outer rectums.
Rectums, yeah, that's right.
Yeah. And I just explained it to them, and like that was okay, and like I'm fine with doing that. But it was when people would come up to me and be like, "Oh, yeah, it's a nice day today. So, what's that thing in your nose?"
I just can't believe. I mean, I can believe it. I don't know why I'm saying that.
People are bold.
Yeah. Like in the shop, so yep. Like I don't like. I get anxious to make a phone call.
Yes.
Like, I don't, like, when they give me the receipt, they're like, here you go, receipt's in the bag. I'm like, you too.
Yeah.
I'm like, how can you just come up and ask someone that?
Why are people so curious?
Because they're rude. I don't know.
I feel like I'm not a curious. It's not my business.
But I was also like, you literally have a phone in your hand. I'm sure if you Google tube in nose, you'll get your answer. Like, it'll be, like, an oxygen tube or, like, a feeding tube.
Yeah.
And then sometimes when I'm in a bad mood, I'm just like, oh, it's a piercing.
Ah, brilliant.
And some people are really, like, shocked by it. When all the coronavirus stuff was still kind of unknown to us, people were scared.
Yeah.
And they would look and they would move. And I'm like, yes, I am diseased. Move away
from
me.
Yeah, wow.
But
you can feel it when people do that stuff, can't you? You can feel it. Yeah.
And I think my most common response now to people is, I'm sorry, I don't mean to offend you, but I'm not required to share my personal medical information with
Great
you.
Great answer.
Yeah.
The way if someone came out of the GP, you wouldn't go up to them and say, oh, what did you see your doctor about?
No, of course not.
And I choose to share my experiences on social media because I can do that at a time when I want to.
Yes. And it's when a place, you can handle it.
Yeah.
You're not where, just, you know, going into Safeway to buy, I don't know, tissues.
Literally, when I was buying Jersey caramels.
Yeah.
These people were just staring at me and I was like, is there something on my face?
Yeah.
Like, is there something I'm not aware of? Like, yes, I know. I get it's normal to look at something that is different, but quickly glance and then look away. Like
get
some people kind of like double take and I'm like, okay, like it's fine. Like you haven't seen it before. I'd probably do the same if I hadn't seen it before either.
Mm.
But some people like stare. In the car, you just see people at the lights and they're like staring.
Yeah.
And I'm like, is it worth you having a car accident to know what's in my nose?
It's not.
No.
I just, I don't know. I don't understand it.
I think that's probably been the most challenging.
Yes.
Part and I noticed for a while, and it was actually my partner that pointed it out, that I started walking with my head down. And it wasn't like a conscious thing that I did, but I was just kind of looking down, and that's when I didn't notice that people were staring at me because I wasn't looking up to see them. But sometimes just like the checkout lady at Coles would be like, oh, what's that thing in your nose? And she'd be whispering, and I'm like, it's not a secret.
No.
Like, it's my nose. I know
it's there.
And she was like, I just say, oh, I'm sick. And she's like, oh, what kind of sick?
I just said sick.
Yeah.
So let's leave it at
that. Yeah, I thought that, I used to think that like just saying I'm sick was like kind of enough. Yeah. But no, some people are just like, tell me more.
Yeah.
And then what do they want if you turned around and said, oh, I've got a terminal illness?
Yeah.
Like what if that's the answer? Like what do they expect then? They're a stranger to you.
Yeah, I'm just like, also, you can't handle that.
No, you can't handle it.
That's right. You can't handle the truth.
Exactly.
And we've got 3 minutes or 30 seconds. Like, it's not time to have a big conversation. And
that is when I used to lie about the twins' age because I realised if I went into the whole premature stuff, they looked like so little, I just decided to lie. It made life so much easier. I thought, you people don't deserve my real story.
Yeah. No.
Sometimes now I'm just like, oh, I just have a stomach condition and
the
best way to manage it is being fed through the tube. That's
story
over.
I mean, that's the truth.
Yeah. You shouldn't have to say it, but that's a good answer.
Yeah, if you feel like you want to say it. But sometimes you must, I don't know if I'm putting words in your mouth, but it's not your job every single day of your life to educate every single person.
No, it's really not.
You know, you can go to Coles without.
Yes.
Yeah.
This is why I always say I choose to share my stuff on social media because I can do it at a time that I want to.
Yeah.
And it's a place that I want to.
What's that been like doing
it's
Instagram?
It's been a really positive experience.
Great.
It's been nice to educate that. I do like sometimes film like a YouTube video and stuff. I just think it's interesting for people to see how people manage
it
in their everyday life.
Yes.
Yep.
And I feel like there's also a bit of an unspoken kind of thing that if you're chronically ill, obviously everyone's able to do different things, and what works for one person won't work for another person.
Yep.
But I feel like there's just kind of this thing that you either function or you don't function at all.
Yeah.
And I find it really toxic, especially in the young adult, like chronic illness community.
Yeah. Right.
Because people are expected to have jobs and to be studying and to be doing all these things when that's just not possible for everyone.
Yes.
And it doesn't mean that some people don't want them, and some people don't want them, and that's fine.
That
and some
is
people
fine.
Can't do it, and that's also fine. But it's not this like one size fits all.
No.
And I think sometimes I've found it more difficult when I was studying nursing and I was like, I want to educate all of you people because I've had enough bad ones to know how much damage it can do. And then I was like, this is exhausting me.
Yes.
Like, I'm tired of always like telling people and explaining the same thing over and over again.
Yep.
So I think because of that, social media has been a good experience because I just kind of put it out there. Originally, I made a Instagram page that was separate to my own Instagram page.
Right.
And then quickly got rid of it because I realized that my illness was not separate to me.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Wow. And a lot of people talk a lot about separating yourself from your illness. And then I found it. I was like, well, it's not this external thing. It's just part of me.
Yeah.
And like, I'm going to like live my life with it, not beside it. Like, it's just with me.
Yeah.
And I've got to function in the best way that I can.
Yeah.
So I was like, think I'm going to not do that.
Okay.
Because I also was like, well, people are following this because they want to see it, but I want the people who don't want to see it to see it.
Yeah.
And that was really important for me. I was like, okay, people want to know my story, but I want the people who don't want to know my story to see it because they're the people that often will make those comments because they don't think it's worth knowing.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's been overall positive. I don't think I've had like negative comments or anything, and if I have, clearly I haven't cared about them because I don't remember.
Well, good. Well, no, that's good.
Have you met other people?
I have. I'm on a lot of like online support groups, which has been really good. There are like a lot of people that I've met in real life, a lot of people that I haven't met in real life, a lot of people from all over the world.
Yeah, that's the best.
That's the best thing about the internet.
Yes, it is.
It's just, yeah.
And I just kind of have, like, sometimes someone will, like, message me something. It's so strange seeing someone do what I do every day.
Yeah.
Like, I just put a video up one night of me, like, setting up my feeding pump before I went to bed.
Yeah.
And she's like, so strange that I do this every night, yet watching someone else do it, it seems so different.
Like, yeah.
And I think that is all part of that connection because not a lot of people know someone that is, like, fed that way. And I think it's, like, I don't want to, like, I don't know what the word is. I don't want to, like, kind of let anyone feel left out. But I think it's it's more common in children and babies.
Yes, that's
right. Than young adults.
Yes.
And I think that sometimes it makes it hard. I'm not, like, trying to, like, say that it's not hard
for
those people.
We're not,
it's different.
Yeah, it's your lived experience.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah.
And being someone, like, most of these people, like, have been, like, known to be healthy, quote, because, quote, healthy.
Yeah.
and then all of a sudden they have to adapt their life to these things.
Mm.
And sometimes I think it would really be a lot easier if this had been around for a lot longer because now at, like, 21, I'm, like, unlearning things from my life that I really thought that I could do and now I realize that I can't do that. But it's really nice to connect with people and hear other people that feel that same way because being like a young adult when so much is changing in your life anyway. And then kind of having that thrown into the mix, like not a lot of like my friends understand, but they don't get it.
Well, it's true. They have that's why we started this, but there's real power in connecting with other people that
and even
share
anybody
a bit of your story.
Yeah, or anybody that has a difference.
And I find now, like, I've gone out and I've seen, like, parents that have kids with feeding tubes or other people with feeding tubes, and I'm really happy. I'm just like, hi, I'm two friends. Like, we have the same nose hose. And, like, so I've seen, like, kids and they're really happy, and I'm like, oh my gosh, that's sad. Like, you don't know that there's, like, other people like you. I know that because I'm older and I get to, like, connect with those other people.
Yeah.
Are you studying at the moment?
I'm not studying at the moment.
Yeah.
I wish I was.
Yeah.
But I left my nursing degree.
Yeah.
Which was kind of forced. Out of rectum comments, a lot of them.
Yeah.
Bad management, considering that it was nurses.
Yeah.
I think they tried, but they didn't get it. Literally, after I'd had my nasogastric tube for a few weeks, they were like, oh, can't you just get a peg? I was like, excuse me. Like, yeah, I'll just go
bold.
Have a surgery. So
nurses
I can come.
Nurses are bold. They are.
I was like, no, I can't actually just go get a peg because we don't know if this is actually going to work. No, the nasogastric tube did not work. So had I gotten a peg, would have been not worth it at all.
Yes.
And I just couldn't go on the placements with the tube.
Yeah.
Oh, right.
Yeah. It brought up a lot of complications and I was like, okay, it's fine.
Yeah.
I'll just leave.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was a bit upset at the start, but before I did go into nursing, I was really stuck between choosing medicine and nursing, but felt like I had to catch up with everyone else because, like, I was already behind because of everything that had happened in my life. So I just needed to hurry up and, like, get a degree.
Yep.
Now I realize that that's not the case.
No.
Plenty
of time.
So I would eventually like to just slowly study medicine.
Yeah. Yep. Yep.
Wouldn't you be fantastic?
Yeah.
I hope
amazing. A professional. a proper professional. Oh, that
it's been
be
amazing
awesome.
To talk to you.
Yes.
It's nice to actually meet you.
Have we, we're kind of coming to the end of our time. We know, and I say this to everybody, you could probably have your own podcast, right?
Yes, you probably
and
could.
And maybe you might one
maybe
day.
Maybe might, yeah.
And so having you in and sharing bits of your story is tiny.
Yep.
But thank you.
Thank
but
you
But have
so
we
much.
Missed anything?
I guess, like, just kind of from, like, the rectum comment perspective, one thing that I have noticed a lot, having a partner that has chronic health issues and then me having chronic health issues, and this is what I originally messaged when I spoke to Kay, is that people all of a sudden have this opinion on whether or not you should have children.
Yes. Right.
And if it's selfish for you to have children.
Right.
And, oh, but what if your child's sick? Like, having a disabled child is the worst thing your child could be.
Yeah, come on,
and
it's not. Yeah.
It was like they were the comments that I really started to get once people would, like, I would just be like, oh, yeah, I'm engaged, or like, yeah, whatever, blah, blah, blah. And they'd be like, oh, are you going to have kids?
What?
And I was like, if I want to, probably whatever the fuck I want.
Yeah, that's right. I'm straight, you will.
And they were like, oh, but what about if your kids, like, get what you have? And I was like, well, I think it's better to have a parent that is able to, like, empower them and be like, yes, you know what, okay, like, you're sick and you can, sometimes you can't do things and sometimes you can do things.
Yeah.
But I was like,
but you can have a fulfilled life where you love people.
That's right.
and
you're loved.
So much joy
and
laughter.
And I was just like, I couldn't believe that people thought the worst thing that a child could be was sick. And I was like, I would, like, no one wants to have a child that has any health issues, but I would rather that than have a child that's like you. Because raising someone like you was, like, to grow up and be that horrible of a person.
Yeah.
Like, I said, that doesn't mean anything. Like, if someone is unwell, it doesn't devalue them as a human being.
No, it doesn't.
Of course not.
No, and like we always say, you don't know what's around the corner.
No,
none
of us.
I don't mean that in a mean way.
No, but it's the absolute truth.
Well, that's exactly what my situation was. I was born as a healthy baby and then grew up to be, like, quite unwell.
Yeah.
So
things unfold.
But still an
amazing person.
So the world's a better place to have you in
it,
you know.
Yes, it is. And it's diverse. And it's, yes, of course.
Yeah.
More filled with more empathy.
Yeah, that's right.
And kindness.
Yeah. Which is actually what is so attractive about a person.
It really is.
Yeah.
It shines out.
It really does. So.
Yeah. And a cute dress.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Very cute dress. We'll take a photo and show you.
It's actually from the op shop. And noting that the people at the op shop serve me all the time when they're open.
Yeah.
And they've never once asked me
about my hair. Oh, see?
Yeah. Good people.
Oh, good people.
Yep.
That amazing.
It is amazing. Yeah, well, they're all volunteers. They're probably
got their own
all
story,
got a story
to tell.
Of their own.
Yes.
And that's fine. Good. We can all just exist with our own stories.
Yeah, and just get on with it.
We don't need to know everything about everybody.
Yeah.
I think it's nothing not the same.
We
at
have
all,
told
but,
a lot about ourselves.
Oh, we have. Go back and listen. But even now, when I say to people, oh, I have twins, first question, are they identical? Yes. Were they planned? What they want to know is, did you have IVF?
Yeah. No, they used to say that to me all the time.
So
IVF
rude.
Or natural. They used to say it to me all the time.
Should I slap you or walk away?
Yes. Like, I'm just like, well, just, what if my what if I didn't actually have IVF, but what if I had a 20-year IVF journey?
And it's disgusting.
A lot of my beautiful, beautiful friends, our beautiful friend Jenny who listens, has had a traumatic journey and lost babies and doesn't want to be asked that question because it doesn't have an answer that you can answer really quickly.
No.
So you don't ask that fucking question anyway. Off topic.
Well, we should get to our make a difference laugh.
Yes. Yes.
Dee's well prepared.
Yeah, good, because she's a proper listener.
She's a proper hardcore
getting my notes out.
Listener.
Did anything make you cry this week, Mandy?
I cried because I watched the ending of Schitt's Creek.
Oh, it's over now.
No one else cares except for the Schitt's Creek people. But it was just such a lovely ending and everything was wrapped up beautifully and I laughed and I cried and, yeah, it was awesome. And then they had like an after show where they were following them on their, like, filming their last episode. Oh, they're emotional? All crying. Everyone's crying.
Because how many seasons?
Season six. But it was just this little show that crept up on people.
Yeah.
And no one knew how awesome it was.
Yeah.
And I just watched it and it took me a bit to get into, but once I did, I was like, these people are the best.
Oh, yeah. Rachel, my bestie, she just can't stop talking about
it. It's so funny.
Yep.
Oh, and it's poignant and they talked a lot about one of the characters. Well, there was David is one of the main characters and he marries his partner who they're gay and all the commentary was about how the relationship unfolded beautifully and there was no trauma about it and often LGBTQ relationships in TV always around some struggle or
and this was just a beautiful love story
there was nothing remarkable about it. That was really powerful.
Yeah.
So anyway, I laughed and cried.
Oh, good. Well, I had just a little cry this week. I took Buzz and Woody to get haircuts and, you know, we went through the where are we going, have we been there before, do we know people, all that, which was all good. And then, of course, it's all social distancing, so quite strange. I can't come over and stand next to them and just didn't even think about
it. Of course not.
Anyway, it was fine. They went in, you know, we had to all wait out the front and then we had to, you know, because I can only have a few people in there. They did a really good job and the hairdresser, you know, she's just chatting and like I didn't have any time to say, you know, just don't worry if they don't answer, you know.
Yeah.
And so she'd like ask one of them a question and then they'd look at me and then I'd look at her and then one of them goes, she goes, well, don't you know if you're in high school?
Oh,
and but then I thought, we don't talk about high school. We just say the year we're in.
Oh,
like I remember at the end of grade six going, oh, you're going to high school. But then it's just middle school. And the school they're at, they have like an – it's like an area. It's like a person's name.
Yes.
We're in the such and such area. So
they don't know what high school is.
I don't think they think about it. And so he's looking like, I don't know. And then – but he just handled himself really well.
Oh.
And then he's like, I'm in year eight. She goes, well, that's high school. He's like, okay.
All right,
if you want me to be there, you know. But anyway, they did, I don't know, when I just got home I drove down the road in my car and I just had a little cry and I thought they handled that really well.
Yes, because that's not been the case.
No, and they just, questions that they didn't want to answer, they answered and, I was like, wow, you did it.
Yeah.
Yeah, wow, you're growing up.
Oh, they are.
It was really, I don't know, it's just an awesome moment.
Yeah, well, we take note of those.
Yeah.
That's the thing.
Yeah. So.
Yep.
And do you have a cry?
I did. I had more of an emotional moment.
But
just kind of was reflecting because it was this time, like I think 5 years ago, that I had that first mental health admission.
Yes.
And I was
like an anniversary.
Wow. I was like, wow, I would not thought that in 5 years this is where my life would
be.
Yes. I guess this was just a week where a lot of good things happened. My partner and I booked our wedding venue.
Yeah.
Amazing.
I knew that this podcast was coming.
Yeah.
And I looked back and I was like, I'm so glad I didn't die.
Yes.
Such a powerful message.
That is
wow, like I can't believe that this has happened like in 5 years. Like I've come such a long way.
You have.
And I was like, wow, this is incredible. Like grow me. Like I don't need to be doing what everyone else
No.
is.
No.
Because you know what? Well, I've done enough growing for a while.
You have. You have. And you had to grow up quickly.
Yeah, you did.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's and it's a a really powerful message, because we can get stuck in the now and like, oh, everything's crap now, or this is shit, or I'm no good. And then if you could see yourself in 5 years, you might be like, actually, it's going to be amazing.
Yeah, yes. Well, I had my 21st in quarantine and I was like, well, you know what, at least this time I get to be with my family and yeah. I get to have my phone and I can reply to all the messages yeah. because when I had my 18th, as good as it was, I didn't get that.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's really, really nice to look back and think on those things that even just felt good then, like nothing could compare to like what I have around
me. Yeah. Mm. Oh, that's amazing.
Oh, good, yeah. good, good.
Going to make a difference. Maybe.
I don't.
You don't have anything.
I know. I'm sorry.
That's right. I know. Sometimes.
Sometimes.
There's nothing.
I know. I'm thinking, do I have a new bra? No. I bought some new undies. I did have to upsize.
Oh, well, yeah, because, that's okay. You
know, yeah. yeah. So that's okay.
Yeah, that's
new
okay.
undies. I bought a whole stack of them.
And how comfy are they?
They're so comfy when they're new.
Why did I put up with these elasticless things? I know. Why?
Why? Because it's not that hard to buy undies
I know.
For me.
I
so
let them
just do it.
Just, yep.
Okay, well, that's a make a difference. Make a difference. That was a good one.
That's a good message to everyone as well.
Buy new underwear, particularly as a mum. I remember yeah. my mum saying, you know, my bra's 13 years old, yeah, and I remember
it's
thinking,
not even
I just,
a bra anymore.
I just don't want to. I don't want to get to that stage, you know. But you do,
yeah,
because you've got to buy everyone else bras in the house, and yeah, you've got to buy everyone else undies,
and it's a bit of an effort.
It is a bit of an effort, yeah. So
you go
anyway,
shopping, and it's like, oh, do I really? Need
yeah,
oh,
do no, I really?
You know, here
no.
I'm walking to the Target checkout with my 27 pairs of size 18 undies. Do you need a bag? Yeah, I yeah, probably please. Do. Hurry up, put them in the bag.
I'll just carry them over my shoulder. It's fine.
I don't even care. If no. someone saw me at Eastland, no, so be it. No, you saw me. Okay, that was a good one for nothing.
That was a good one. So you just have to dig deep, Mandy.
There's always something.
There's always something.
Sound engineer is loving that one.
So I got sort of similar. I got new UGG boots.
Ah.
And I didn't realize my old ones were really floppy and not really warm anymore.
Right.
And these ones were a bit of a, I had to really fight to get them on, but they're really comfy. And I was like, oh, I just have been like dancing in them. Like, I got new UGG boots. I think it's been
springing
years.
Springing your step.
Because they're expensive.
They are
you know?
Expensive.
They're
yes.
not a whim purchase.
No.
The UGG.
I did buy some for Auntie Lacey. That's why I was at Target.
Yes.
Because there was ones with sort of proper UGGs.
Yes, these were proper UGGs.
Yeah.
I got them online. They're all on sale.
Yes, that's right.
I think because sadly, pandemic, people aren't going shopping.
Yeah.
But I think it's the perfect pandemic footwear.
What other shoes
totally
do you need?
Is.
No pants and UGG boots all the way.
Yeah, totally. So, look at me.
Yeah.
Tracksuit pants all the
so,
way.
Yeah, that was my make a difference.
Yep. What about you, Dee?
My make a difference this week, I actually kind of was like, oh, has anything made a difference in my week
See?
This week?
Sometimes yeah. you got to really think
but
about it.
But after I reflected, on the weekend, we were just taking stuff out of the car and we'd have to park the car near the park that's at the end of the street because they were doing roadworks.
Yep.
And I was just, you know, throwing out rubbish. I was like, oh my gosh, how has this gotten in here?
Yes,
oh,
yes,
why
yes.
is it
yes.
doing
yep.
here? And then I just heard like a small voice behind me and she was like, hi. And I turned around and there was this like small child on a bike.
Okay.
And I was like, hi. She's like, how are you? I was like, I'm good. And she couldn't have been like older than 5. And I was Aww. Like, I'm good, thanks. She's like, I'm really excited to be at the park. I haven't been to the park for more than 2 weeks. And I was like, honey.
That's us when we were 5.
I was like, honey, where's your dad? She's like, he's over there. He's talking. It's all right. And she was like, oh, that thing in your nose, does it hurt? I was like, gosh, like, does everyone get one when they grow up? I was like, not really.
Not really.
She's like, that's okay then.
Oh,
and I was like, oh, it just made my day. I
yes.
was like, and she was like, oh, well, hopefully I'll see you again because we're friends now.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I was like, my day is just better because
yes.
you just came up to me and you were just happy.
Yeah.
And
an extroverted 5-year-old girl.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
really something.
Yeah, yeah.
I can picture her.
And I was
yeah,
also, she was,
too.
I was like, what's in your nose? And she was just like, oh, okay. Put
yeah,
up
I know. Yeah, yeah. They're awesome.
Because there's no malice in the question.
No, there's
they're just,
not.
Oh, while we're here.
Then she was like, I have new tassels on my butt.
Yes.
Yeah, back to me.
Back to me. Oh, she sounds divine. What about, oh, you, Kate.
Did anything make you laugh?
Oh, yeah, UGG boots. Yeah, laugh. So, Darren, bike rides, came in. Molly was down the back with him and I yep. could hear this long conversation he was having about bike riding.
Right.
And I was thinking, riveting. I'm glad that's not me in there. Anyway, so it went for ages and she must have listened to everything.
Yeah.
She comes in and she goes, what do you call a bike riding conversation? I said, I don't know. Because she was like, that went for a long time. And yeah. she goes, search it up.
Tell me what I've just lived through, please.
So I just, okay, Googled. What do you call a bike riding conversation? Nothing. Came up with nothing.
That's hilarious. There should be a word for it.
I don't know,
when
boring.
When they come back and tell you the whole details. Gotcha. Yeah.
I just didn't want to put him down in front of her, but I wanted to say, bore you to tears.
Oh, she could see. Her.
She had a wink in her eye. Yeah. Like, that was really excruciating.
Next time, please save me.
Yeah, from the bike riding conversation. So funny.
So funny.
You know, but it's important.
Oh, yeah. And she actually did the right thing and listened to someone and who told her something that was important to him.
Yeah, so, that's right. Yeah. She did. Yeah, she loves
that's
him.
That's relationships. Yeah.
I know. I, on the other hand, wasn't listening. That made me laugh.
Oh, dear. So, yeah, well, I sort of have two. The first one's really my mum has a best friend who cannot stand Daniel Andrews, who's the premier of our state.
Oh, no.
Right?
Oh, no.
Anyway, mum's looking after her budgie, so she's trying to teach the budgie to say Daniel,
Daniel Andrews.
So she's just constantly, Daniel Andrews, Daniel Andrews. Daniel Andrews.
That's our premier in Victoria.
Yeah, and I think that's so that would be pretty funny if you got this bird back and Daniel Andrews, Daniel Andrews.
I've heard some women of that genre say similar things. Yes. And I'm like, my goodness.
Yes, but they're very opinionated.
Very opinionated.
But I think this would be amazing if we had a Daniel Andrews budgie. So
it's made me laugh. We could have him do the announcements instead of them being like, Mrs. Daniel Andrews. Yes. Mrs. Daniel Andrews.
Stage two.
You can get on the beers with your mates.
Yeah, yeah. So, that's fantastic.
And the other thing that made me laugh a lot was on the weekend, Aldi had a special buy and it was a little wine fridge.
Yes.
And I've sort of always wanted one, but I don't want to pay for it. And then
what do you think you're going to get one for free?
Why don't I pay like $1,000? Yes. But Aldi had a really good priced one. That's
they
what
always
I mean.
Do.
Yep. So Lorraine and I were like, let's go. So anyway, we went and they're big in a box, right? Yes. So it's the whole trolley. And the guy was so gorgeous in the shop. He's like, if I put it in like this, you can just roll it into the car. Oh, and he was really helpful.
Very helpful.
But trying to walk through the Glen with these two of us. Everyone
that
was
would have been
staring,
really funny.
Like, what are those women what doing with the wine? Bought? People are saying, what do you got? And then I was like, well, the mover escalator, what are they called? Anyway.
Travelator?
Yeah, was broken. So, you know, you can't go on because the wheels.
No, yeah.
So I was like, we have to find a lift. So this woman's like, you need to go over there. Anyway, people weren't social distancing in there. There's a sign that says one person.
In the lift.
In a lift. Yeah. And there was just like 10. I was like, oh, well, this is not right. No. I'm not getting in lift with strangers.
And there's no room for my wine
And we've
fridge.
Got two wine fridges anyway.
Oh, two.
Lorraine got one and I got one.
Each. Oh, that's even funnier.
So she was like, how are we going to do it so that it's just us in the fridge? And I was like, well, I'll put my trolley sideways and then I'll just put my barge ass in between us. So then people couldn't get past me. Anyway, so she was like, push a button, because you could tell that they wanted to get in. So we pushed the button. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Anyway, when we came out, we hadn't gone anywhere and so the people were all still standing there. Their fury. Not only have you not let us in, you haven't. I was like, she's like, close the door. I don't know why, but that was it. We were hysterical.
Oh, I bet you were.
You just laughed and laughed the whole way to the car and tried rolled them in the boot.
Oh, okay.
Anyway, was a you don't think things are going to be funny?
And then, oh no, and then they are.
Yeah. So that was
there's
my,
always a moment.
There is. Elder
and next I time, go to a standalone store and just go out in the car park.
Well, you can't get them. They're very. They were very hard to get.
Okay. All right.
So yeah,
okay.
We were pretty lucky to. Yeah, I would have preferred a standalone store.
Yeah. Okay.
Anyway, sorry.
If we want to talk Aldi technicalities. Yeah. Go, D.
My make a laugh this week was my pea shoot brother.
Yeah.
Got this new poster and needed this B1 frame and was very obsessed about finding this specific frame. Everywhere was sold out, so obviously like existential crisis.
Yep. Yes.
And so then he started taking it upon himself to call some frame shops.
Yep.
And he called one that was close to where my dad works because he thought that he could take it.
Yep.
And he was really proud of himself. I think he'd been talking about it for a while. I just wasn't listening.
Yep.
And he was like, yeah, the lady's name was Margaret. And I just thought, Margaret, you know. And I thought he was going to say, oh, you know, Margaret's an old name or something because he'd be ruthless. He'd be like, Margaret just really sounds like the name of someone who loves frames.
Wrong.
I was cooking dinner and I was like, what did you say? And he's
Margaret, the perfect frame secretary. I don't think that's what they're called.
That's okay. The greatest.
He's like, okay, but I just thought.
Well, I mean, he's onto something.
Yeah, he is.
If and you work in a frame shop and your name's Margaret, let us know.
Let us know.
We'll get you in contact.
And I brought it
someone
up with,
will be yeah. it, you know.
Yeah.
Someone will say.
It's me.
Yeah.
Every person I've brought it up with, they're like, well, he's not wrong. And I'm like, I just didn't think.
Oh, the things that come out of their mouths. Yeah.
Like,
sometimes people's names really suit them.
Yes. Hose. Burst water pipes. Oh, dear me.
All right. Well,
I think we've had a lovely time.
We've had a lovely time. It's been so lovely
thank
to see you.
For trusting your story with us.
Thanks for coming to the pod bar now that we can be back in circulation.
Yay.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you.
We'll stay in touch.
And can people find you on Instagram?
They can. It's just at d.zoe. I'll send you.
Yeah, we'll tag you.
We'll put it in the show notes.
Yep, okay, cool. Of course. Yeah.
There's the link to like the YouTube and stuff.
Oh,
in there,
great. So okay.
It's yep. all there.
Fabulous.
It.
Yeah. Okay. Very well, good. Rate and review. You've been doing a really good
you
job lately. I've been noticing.
Yeah, thank you.
And scroll through because there is a funny one there from Molly.
Very
I read
funny
that
one.
The other day. I do.
That has been the highlight of the reviews.
I know, honestly, because she was so proud of herself.
Oh, yeah. We've got, you know, 30-year-olds messaging us, how do I write a review?
I know, so and she's awesome. She's... I thought, oh, there's going to be more of these. Anyway,
when
rate
you don't
and
let her do something.
I know. Oh, my gosh. Well, thank you, Pete. See you. Bye. Bye.
Okay, I have two new obsessions that I need to share with you. Impress No Glue Press-On Manis and Impress Press-On Falsies Lashes. Trust me, these are getting ready game changers. Both require no glue, so there is no damage to your natural nails and lashes, no mess, and no annoying dry times. Just one step and you're done. Boom. Instant glam. Visit impressbeauty.com/presson and use code PRESSON25 at checkout for 25% off Impress manicure and Press-On falsies.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Late bloomers tend to have more curiosity. They tend to have more resilience.
There's stories and mythology that this country has woven around black men.
This is the cavalry, right? These are the leaders, the hometown heroes and local leaders. And we are.
It's a survival mechanism to just be like worried of police.
What if everything we've been taught is just all wrong?
What's worth more than this fear right now?
And that rising after failure is part of the glory of being a human being.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.